twice. Why am I mad at her? I'm really not. And so I don't know what's going on. If I do fall out, my notes are pretty plain. Somebody finish for me. I don't know what's going on. I haven't taken any weird medicine or anything. Anybody just get? Is it just age? Is that what it is? It's because I got a 16-year-old coming tomorrow. Is that what it is? That's what's bothering me. So I apologize. And all of you watching this, I don't normally look like I'm trying to imitate Dr. Seuss commercials, okay? So I do apologize. And some of you like, preacher keeps doing this at me. And so some of you are convicted already. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's just I don't feel well. I don't feel right. I feel fine, actually, but I don't feel right. So, it's because I didn't eat any of that breakfast back there. That's what it was that Allison made. But anyway, so I apologize. I don't ever do that. Sometimes when my jaw's hurting, I'll say something because when my jaw hurts, I look like I'm ready to kill someone. Nod your head if anybody here has a lockjaw or TMJ. And you, when your jaw hurts, you're like, you know, I would bite someone if I could get my mouth open. So we've got those kind of things. So thank you for that. And then let me just plug this really fast. I want to do this. I'm encouraging this. I'm going to do a call and all, but I want to encourage you this week. I want to encourage you. If you read the Bible every day, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine. But I want to be in the Word of God this month. I want to be in God's Word this month. I want to get in the Word, and I want the Word to get into me. And we're encouraging you. We've got a 30-day challenge. There's a half sheet out there. We've got all over social media right now. We've got an email that you get. But I want to encourage you to take that. You can look it on an app. You can do it analog. I want to encourage you to do that. I think if we will read the Bible and pray, we will have one of the best starts of any calendar year we've ever had. And I think if we don't get in the Word and we don't pray, I don't care what kind of vision we lay. I don't care what kind of plans we got. I don't care what kind of calendar I give out. It won't matter. We are a spiritual engine driven by how God says to drive things. Nod your head if that makes sense to you. And I want to encourage you to do that. And so please take that challenge. Please take that challenge. I banked this the other day. I read this and kept it. 10 years of research. Eric Geiger wrote, after 10 years of research, Bible preaching, Bible believing churches, he says there's two things about spiritual maturity. Number one, Bible engagement is the number one spiritual discipline for growth. Bible engagement, not osmosis, not thinking about it, not having it around, not talking about it, but engaging with the Scripture, jumping into the deep end and getting in the Word and letting the Word get in us. That's the number one spiritual discipline for personal growth. Number two, he said, after 10 years of research, 10 years of statistics, 10 years of interviews, Bible engagement affects every other discipline. Bible engagement affects every other discipline of spiritual life. And I would say your life, period. People who engage the Bible go more, they evangelize more, they attend more, they give more, they encourage more. Everything is on that one foundation, and that is the seedbed from everything else that grows. So wherever you are, whatever you've been doing, may I encourage you, grab the material out there, go on the website, look it up, ask me, I'll show you how to install the app on your phone, whatever you want to do, every how you want to do it, analog, digital, I don't care. I'm going to be in the Word. Yeah, I got my own plan. That's fine. Do your own. But if you don't, I'm going to encourage you. And again, I'm asking about 5 or 6 minutes a day. I think you can add that to whatever you're doing. Please do that. Nod your head if you think this is serious, think this is beneficial. And man, I want to challenge you. We're going to keep challenging you this month to be in the Word. So be in the Word. It wouldn't be Christmas if I didn't at least go to Luke chapter 2 one time. So that's where we are. Luke chapter 2, look at verse 25. If you're willing and able, stand with us as we read God's Word this morning. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. The Bible says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, the hope of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, that he should not see death till he had seen the Lord's Christ, till he had seen the Messiah." Verse 27. "And he came by the Spirit in the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then he took him up in his arms." This is a stranger. "Blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles, the glory of your people Israel. Joseph and his mother marveled. They were amazed at those things which were spoken of this child, Jesus. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign against which shall be spoken against." Excuse me. "Yea, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also." This is Simeon predicting, prophesying of Christ's death and how it would impact his earthly mother. "That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." I want to answer a question. What happens when you encounter the Christ child? What happens when you encounter the Christ child? Pray with me one last time. Father, help my thoughts to be focused. Help my speech to be clear. More than that, would you move up and down each aisle? Would you speak to every heart? Would you speak to those who are watching now? Oh, I pray that you would be very present, very real in our hearts and lives. Spirit of God, I ask you to use me this morning. I pray that I'd preach with power. Lord, I am frail and weak this morning. I feel that way. So I pray that the power of God would be magnified. And God, we always want to give you all the credit anyway, so I pray in advance. Father, would you right now do what I cannot and preach on the inside while I'm preaching on the outside? Thank you for your love and your kindness to us this morning. Help us, I ask, in Jesus' precious name. And amen. You can be seated. Be seated. I did something I rarely do. I've mentioned a little bit in Sunday. I did something I rarely do this morning. I really do this week. I went to the mall. I went to the shopping mall. Anybody here like to go to the shopping mall? Not Walmart, not Target, but the mall, like West Town or East Town or Center Town. A few of you raising your hands, you can leave now. You're not welcome here. I'm teasing. Some of you are like, okay, mall. And I wasn't really bright. I got called on it. I wasn't really bright. But I actually went Wednesday afternoon, the day after Christmas, because I figured everybody was working and there wouldn't be anybody there. Let me help you. Nobody was working, and everybody was there. And I said, why'd you go to the mall, Pastor? I went to the mall. Allison needed something. She's going back to college. Needed to take care of it. And I don't know what I'm thinking. I was planning on taking most of the Wednesday off. I worked some that morning. But so I go to the mall. I go to the mall with the rest of Knox County, some of Anderson County, Blount County, Sevier County. It was great. It was great. We had a little UN delegation there. It was amazing. And, man, it was something else. And so everybody's in there doing this, and people acting like they didn't get anything for Christmas. Anybody besides me amazed at how much shopping goes on after the gift-giving season? And everybody's in there, and they weren't that bad, but they were in there, and they're loaded down with stuff, and I'm like, these poor people didn't get anything for Christmas. They had to go and buy their own gifts. And anybody ever feel that way? And so I'm there and I'm walking around. We're trying to take care of what Allison needs, get it all worked out, and so she can get on her way. And so I see in the sea of people, I see a coffee stand, Starbucks, or some of you call it $4. But anyway, I saw a Starbucks, and I said, well, I need some coffee to calm my nerves because all these crazy people. And so I'll go up there and get me a little, you know, just $2 cup of coffee. I don't think that exists anymore anyway, but, you know, give me a little cup of coffee. And so I'm waiting in line. I go up there to the little girl. And a little girl, I'm old, the college-age student. And she's like, "Welcome to Starbucks." And I'm like, "Hello." I smile at her. She kind of, and I'm like, have you had a long day? I said, "Has everybody been nice to you?" And she went. I said, "Well, it's Christmas." She looked at me, perfectly said, "I don't know. I don't think anybody remembers it was Christmas yesterday." And I'm like, "Well, I do. I don't even want anything. I'm just going to stand here and chit-chat with you." And she looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, "No, I'll take a coffee and all." And I put a tip in there. And I said, "I'm sorry everybody's been mean to you." She said, "We're just used to it." And I walked off and I thought, just how sad. 21-year-old going, nobody in a town with all these churches feels like anybody remembered it was Christmas yesterday. By the way, how many of you think she wasn't alone thinking that everybody forgot it was Christmas on Tuesday? Amen. And anybody been on the road, you may have seen anybody out crazy and all. I wonder sometimes if that's not true with us. I don't think we have to go to a mall sometime to forget things. I don't think we have to be on Walmart or whatever. I think we have to answer the question, did it matter? Does it matter at all that Christmas was celebrated this past Tuesday? Does it matter? Does it change your life When you encounter the Christ child, what should be the results? We have five different songs recorded in Luke's gospel. Different people, different facets, looking at the birth of the Christ child. We come to this, one of the last ones, if not the last one there, Simeon's encounter with the Christ child. Simeon, Anna, Zacharias, Elizabeth, and then Mary, of course, would sing as well. And they are here. They're looked at sometimes, particularly Simeon is looked at, rather, as someone being older. We don't actually have that recorded for us in the Scripture. The tradition says he's like 100, 115, which would be old by any stretch of the imagination. But basically, we get that inference because he says, I'm ready to die now, ready to die. But he is, however, how old he is, and he has been looking for the Messiah. He's been looking for that verse. If you go back up there, he says he's been praying, verse 25, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The consolation of Israel simply means the messianic hope. He's been waiting for what God promised. He's been waiting for what God has said that he would do. He's been waiting, hoping. Let me help you. There's a lot of people in 2018, on the verge of 2019, who've been waiting and hoping for something. For someone, for some meaning. They've chased after everything. And so you have this devout man. He's been waiting for God to fulfill his promises. This fifth song here, the Christmas songs. This Christmas song. And I want to describe a little bit. I want to help us, and I want us to see what it means. See what it should mean in our life. See what it should mean to us. Simeon was a man who was led by the Spirit of God and taught by the Word of God and obedient to the will of God. And he gets to see the Christ child. It changes his life, and it should change our life. So I want to unpack it. Are you with me this morning? Say amen. You with me so far? I can't tell. Like I said, I'm gonna push on through, and I hope Andrea's not poisoning me. If I'm dead next week, don't let her take a date to my funeral. All right, I'm kidding. No, she's not. She wouldn't do that. She'd take later on. And so trying to make some of you smile, and y'all just frowning at me. Y'all had a rotten Christmas, apparently. And so I'm teasing here. Let me unpack a little bit for you. Number one, it's a worship hymn. It's a worship hymn. It's a worship hymn. See, what do you mean? See, what do you mean? Verse 20, go all the way down. Go all the way down to verse 28. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, do you let your servant depart in peace according to your word? For mine eyes have seen your salvation. He thanks God for what? For keeping his promise and for sending the Messiah. Let me help you. If you've met Jesus, if you have encountered the Christ of the Scriptures, there ought to be beating in your heart something that says, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for fulfilling your promise, for sending your Son, for letting me be introduced to him, for calling to me and beckoning to me and drawing me. And there ought to be something that bubbles up there. It ought to be a worshipful hymn. Man, I like to sing. I don't think I sing very well, but I like to sing. I like to sing. I like to whistle. I like to hum. I have learned words to the songs wrong, incorrectly, and sang them with full force and vigor and gusto, and my wife beside me grabbing my arm or leg saying, be quiet. And I go, why? I said, that's not the word. I said, I think it is. Doesn't matter what you think it is. That's not the words. Not the words. Andrea was singing somewhere, a pretty large church, and had a song. And I'd sang it so much. I'd sang it so much, so wrong. And she got up there to sing it and started singing the wrong words to the song because I had done that to her. And she did what you musicians did. She paused for a minute and acted like she was emotional. And she was emotional. She was mad at me. And because I'd put the wrong words in her head, and she was up there in front of 400 or 500 people singing the wrong words, and she got down, she sat down beside me and said, are you happy? I said, I'm just delighted. And it wasn't, they were incorrect, it just wasn't the words of the song. I made up my own version. I made up the extra verse accidentally. I just learned them the wrong. I mean, I like to sing. I feel bad for teenagers at some of the ball games we go to with Riley. Cheerleaders. Sis, kumba, rah, rah. People are like, everybody stand up and cheer. Everybody yell, give me a D. And I'm, I paid my money. I'm not a D. I'm the only one cheering. They won't even make eye contact with me because I'm crazy. Everybody else is like, I'm like, I wouldn't go to a ball game act like I was bored. Nod your head if you're with me here. If my team's getting killed, I'll just cheer for the other one, right? They're doing well. Good job. Yeah, that was excellent. Way to stuff our guy. I paid $5 to sit on a hard bench. I'm going to get something out of it. Nod your head if you're with me here. Some of you are like, I don't want to go with you. And some of you are like, I want to go with you. And you guys, my family, I am that crazy sometimes. But it's a worship hymn. They said, why you got all these people on stage singing, trying to help you sing? It's a funny thing, man. Hey, let's sing to Jesus and praise his name. People going, I saw you. You were at the mall Wednesday. You looking that mad? Man, I think you at least smile, right? You at least hum. I feel bad. Let's sing. Let's sing Christmas songs. No. Let's sing old songs. No. Let's sing new songs. No. Again, if you're not a Christ follower, I kind of get that. But if you know Christ, at the very least, just mumble. Amen? Mumble to Jesus. That sounds like a good worship song. Yeah, we can get that. Skillet, that'll be their next song. And, we can do something. We can do something to worship him. When we come to him, there should be a change of tune. I've been amazed. Some years back, my pastor had the opportunity to interact with someone who was part of the Metropolitan Opera. Ray's wife and my pastor's wife had grown up knowing each other, gotten separated when he was on tour there in Memphis or on loan there. They reconnected. Ray was famous, is famous. Marvelous singer. Singing, just bellow out and always perfect pitch and all this. And Brother Dan grew up in Paintsville, Kentucky. Worlds colliding. Opera, banjo. Made a deal. He'd go hear him sing at the opera if Ray and his wife would come and hear Dan preach. Dan said, I learned a couple things. One, he wasn't a big fan of Italian. Two, if you're not in your seat when it's time, they'll cut the lights off on you. So bring a flashlight. And he said, we struck up a relationship. He said, I found out that this opera singer liked to go fishing. So we go out on a bass boat. Now, it's a funny thing. At the time, Brother Dan was probably 450 pounds. Ray was at least 400 pounds. I still want to see the bass boat to handle both of them. But anyway, I digress. He said, they're on the middle of the lake fishing. Then Dan starts singing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. He said, the whole time we were out, said Ray didn't sing, he didn't whistle, he didn't hum. He had no song. He was a professional musician, but he had no heart song. 6, 7, 8 months went by. One Sunday morning, Ray came, gave his heart to Christ, was baptized. God opened up a whole new ministry. For years and years, he sang, done church music, helped, taught on a college graduate level. It's amazing what God's done. He said they went fishing sometimes after that they had been, after he had come to Christ. He said it was amazing. He said, Ray started singing. See, when you encounter Jesus Christ, you'll be like Simeon. There'll be something there that is worshipful in your heart and in your life. And we want to talk a lot more about that this year. It's a worship hymn. It was a salvation hymn. Salvation hymn, verse 30. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Mine eyes have seen salvation. One of the things we try and do, we want to try and do more of in 2019, Lord willing, is we want to sing more songs about thank you, Lord, for saving me and what a difference you've made in my life. And there is something that is there, man, that ought to be in the top 10 list in our mind. God, thank you for me. We're going to do that Wednesday night. I started to do it this morning. We're going to do it Wednesday night. We're going to take some time and let you just testify about God saving your heart and God saving your life. I was so thrilled. I didn't catch it. I didn't catch it till the next morning, I don't think. But Joseph sent me a message, and he said, man, praise the Lord. Debbie and I, we were able to lead her mother to Christ at 78 years. saved, and she has come to a saving knowledge of Him. And man, I tell you what, I was so happy. I was so excited. I didn't even need coffee that morning, praise the Lord. And man, I'm excited. Why? Because now she's got a salvation song in her life, and that's part of it. Man, isn't that something? Isn't it amazing? Some of you are like, some of you should amen that. Amen. Man, we're so thrilled. So thrilled. By the way, that was Debbie. They got baptized Sunday. And God doing the work of grace in their family and their lives and all. It's a salvation hymn. That word depart there. Word depart can have a few different meanings here. It can mean to release a prisoner. It can mean to untie a ship. It can mean to take down a tent or unyoke a beast of burden. It can mean any of those kind of things. He says, I am ready now. I have come to Jesus. I am ready. Let me help you. You be ready to die. When you come to Jesus, you're ready to live. You're ready to live. I like heaven talk. I just do. I like heaven talk. But heaven is a fringe benefit of being saved. Heaven is a fringe benefit of coming to Jesus. To get His righteousness and His forgiveness and have a relationship with Him. It is only then you are ready to live and ready to die. Ready to die. Now, I think we talk far too little about heaven, but I want to suggest to you, we talk far too little about the fact that God does what? That God saves me, and now I'm ready to live and live for Him. I'm ready to live for Him. God's people are not afraid of death because it only frees us from the burdens of life and leads us in the blessing. Next, it was a missionary song. Worship. You come to Jesus, there ought to be a difference there. There's a qualitative difference in your life. I don't think we got to be dragged to come corporately worship. I don't think we got to be dragged to get into the Scriptures. There's a salvation part. And I am thrilled. I'm teasing Kelly about the skillet and all, but a little bit. But new music's fine. Why don't we sing more new music? It's all new to me. I'm not a music person. But songs that are only about us, they kind of miss the worship point, right? Worship's not about me. Worship's about Him. Somebody say amen to that. Whether that's music or the service or whatever how it goes. But there's a salvation point. God, You saved me. God, You changed me. God, You can save you. Can save you and change your life. So you don't understand the baggage I'm bringing. I'm glad to know that Christ came to be born to bring salvation. And then there's the missionary part. He says He's done what? He'd be a light to the Gentiles. Why in the world do you have a Christmas offering? Send 2/3 of it out of here. Because baby Jesus was born to be a light to the Gentiles. And I want to help everybody everywhere who's doing their best to honor Christ and preach the Word to get the gospel out. I want them to do that. I want them to have the resources they need because somebody said that here. Made sure that there was a church here in West Knoxville because they thought West Knoxville was going to explode 20 years ago. And guess what it did? It exploded 20 years ago. And it's still exploding. Every time I turn around, they've cleared a path or cleared a tree or whatever. We're going to have an Advance Auto right beside of an O'Reilly's. And, there's donuts and all. It's a bad time to be on a diet if you live around Carnes right now. But you can work on your car. And, we got stuff everywhere. When I first came, people said, you know what? Those Ingles fritters are great. Somebody said, no, the Weigel's fritters are better. And so I went on about a 6-month taste test. And I'm of the opinion they're both really good. And over here's Weigel's and over here's Ingles. And some of you are going, you hadn't tried mine. I'm glad to. I can be a tiebreaker. I can do that. We're here. Riley wants a pie for his birthday, so we got him a I-40 pie. Who'd ever thought they'd name a pie after something so frustrating? Somebody say amen. You know? We get it. We get it. People are, couldn't drive down here to the car wash 2 miles, so they put another one right here. I mean, we're funny, aren't we? We get convenience. I want to understand. I want us to make sure we understand it's a missionary hymn. When you come to Jesus, you want other people to know. You pray for other people to know. He stops there and he starts prophesying, and I want to just hit this carefully and quickly, and I want you to see it, and then I want to give you an idea or two, and we're going to be done. Simon stops, he prophesies, and he looks, and he says, he blessed him, verse 34. Look back in your Bible, if you would. Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign that shall be spoken of. He talks, first of all, he says he's going to be a stone. He's set for a fall. People still trip over who Jesus is. Not everybody gets it. Let me help you. Not everybody likes him. Not everybody likes him. Not everybody's happy for you to take a stand for Jesus. Not everybody's happy for you to stand up and say, this is right and this is wrong. How many of you figure out that's really offensive in 2018, 2019? You shouldn't do this. You should do that. We had some folks that were coming some years back now, and really after I first got here, and they kind of took off, and somebody asked me, said, why aren't they coming to church anymore? I said, I don't know. and said, we ought to find out. So I went to their house, showed up, and if you go to somebody's house and they let you in and then they walk out of the room and leave you there by yourself, I don't know what that makes you feel like. It makes me feel odd. Nod your head if that makes sense to you, amen? So I'm in there by myself, and I start to go, well, I reckon I'm going to go fix me something to eat. I don't, you know. I'm the last guy you want to do that with, by the way. I'm the last guy you want to freeze out. So they finally came back in the room, and I was like, hey, we've been missing you and all. How's everything going? Anyway, they kept on, and finally basically broke down to, you know, Pastor, we're not that interested in church, and we like her smoking, and we like her drinking, and we like doing this, and we like doing that and all. And it said, we feel bad when we come to church. And I'm like, did you really say that's what I'm thinking? Did you really say all those things to me? And did you really say all those things to me? And I'm like, I'm sitting here in my head going, have I even mentioned anything they said in the last month or two? And I finally got, oh, you're mad with the Holy Spirit. Because you're convicted about what you're doing, and you figure you can outrun the Holy Spirit by avoiding church. How many of you think that's a fool's errand, by the way? How many of you think the Spirit goes to and fro, and he blows where he wants to, and he talks to who he wants to, and he is convicting and convincing men, and he is talking to people about their sin, and you can run from him, but you won't get away from him, because until he's done with you, the hounds of heaven will chase you, and because they're trying to draw you to his son. He said, but it's a stone of stumbling to people, a city set for the fall of Israel. By the way, Israel's still stumbling over Jesus by and large. He said it'd be a sign. He said it'd be a sign. Let me time out. By the way, the very thing that you're upset about is the very person who can save you from your sins and change your life. Amen? By the way, being convicted is a great thing. Being convicted is a great thing. It means God is dealing with you. God is dealing with you. There's a sign there. Sign. It's a demonstration of power. Jesus' miracles in John, those seven miracles, and then if you want to count the eighth one, the resurrection there, those eight miracles reveal the truth about him. He is God. By the way, virgin birth is the miracle that he came into this world. He is the miracle. When you look at Christ, you see the power of God on display. He is a sign. He is a stone. He's a sword. It's going to break your heart, Mary. It's going to break your heart. You still with me? Look right here for a second. I'm going to say it because it's your birthday, right? I grew up in just teeny tiny town. I don't make any apologies. I didn't know any different. Rode my bicycle everywhere. Played rocks and sticks and played with fireworks. Shouldn't have. It's a miracle I got all my digits. We threw knives at each other. We shoot bow and arrows, try and catch them. I didn't say we were all real bright growing up, but anyway, typical, very typical boyhood. If you didn't get gas where I grew up on Saturday night, you didn't get gas. There wasn't anything open on Sunday. Maybe a truck stop, but that was a ways off. And if you could get to the truck stop, you didn't need gas. That was kind of the rationale, if you could have that much gas. It was a handy mart. That's the name of it. A handy mart came to town. And it wasn't a grocery store, but it had groceries. It had aisles of gum and crackers and chips. It had Pepsi and Coca-Cola products. And it had a little section of Sundrop. Some of you from different places, Sun Drops, great. Very sweet, though. And then you could get milk. You could go into this store, and I have to go to the grocery store and get milk. And it was open on Sunday. And it had gas on Sunday. And this just changed our little town. Because you could now get milk if you ran out on Sunday, and you could get a loaf of bread, where you were paying exorbitant prices for the convenience, but you get these things, you could get gas. And I never forget, man, my dad just was stuck on this. He couldn't believe there was a place nearby that wasn't in New York City or Chicago that not only was open on Sunday, but had the stuff, and you could go in and get it. And I'm 48. I'm not terribly old, but I remember so much. I think we're jaded to certain things that are different, that are not very, very new, but they just become part of life. Let me help you. I think we are jaded when we say Jesus came and died for our sins. I think we're just as jaded as you thinking, preacher, you're just ancient talking about people being able to do stuff on Sunday. I think we're just as jaded as he holds a 8-9-day-old baby and says, you're going to break your heart because he's going to die. And Mary, you're going to live long enough to see it. And you're going to do what every parent dreads. You're going to watch your child die. And not just die publicly, humiliatingly, in all practical purposes, naked, be executed like a criminal. And he's not going to die like that. He's going to start dying the night before, and then for 6 hours on a cross, you're going to watch him do this. And everything in his body is racked out of joint, and his wrists are tore open, and his feet are flayed. You're going to watch as a mean Roman soldier is going to come up and take the sharp end of a sword, a stick, a spear. It's going to hit him somewhere right here, and it's going to come up through his rib cage, and it's going to pierce the pericardial sac around his heart. And that protective shock absorber, if you would. The Bible will say blood and water is going to run out. And Simeon, with a heart full of worship and a heart towards the salvation that he's going to provide, and the missionary thought that God came for everyone. And I want to remind you, Mary, it's going to break your heart. See, when we meet the Christ child, I think somewhere in the back of our mind stays, he died for me. He died for you. He bled and died and suffered for you and for me. Look right here, young people. He did that for you and for me. Everybody grumpy and goofy and mean and whatnot on Wednesday, I don't think they got a hold of what really was happening that first Christmas so long ago. If they had, boy, they got bad memory. He said it'd be a sword. I'm done. I offer these to you to think about by way of application. Don't forget, a life waiting for Jesus is never wasted. Whatever brought you to this moment in your life has not been wasted. You may not have lived for him, but he has been looking for that salvation. Some of you are in here this morning, you've been looking for something all your life. You've tried this, you've tried that. Maybe you got wet in a baptism somewhere, but there's never been life changing. God brought you to this point, and that life has not been wasted. Looking for him and hoping for him. And let me help you, just as he came the first time, he'll come again in glory and in honor. We live looking forward to that day when we see him. Number two, finding Jesus ought to bring great hope and great joy. We sang about it. Good tidings of comfort and joy. Joy. Our world could use a whole bag load of joy, couldn't it? You got people in your family need joy. Let me see, some of you in here this morning, you are crushed by weights and circumstances and grief, and you're nervous and you're worried and been there, done that, got the t-shirts and all kinds of sizes. Jesus coming, bring joy. This is the consolation of Israel. This is the hope we've been looking for. Jesus is the answer to men's needs. Number three, remember, Seeing's not always believing. Not always. But believing is seeing. He's going to keep his promise, Simeon said. He's going to keep his promise, Simeon said. He's going to keep his promise. And he lived long enough to do what? He held him in his arms. He kept his promise. He kept his promise. He's a sign. You can put him in any empirical test you want. He is the Son of God who came in power. You can hold the Bible up to whatever scrutiny you want to. The Bible passes the test. God's Word is true. God's Word is true. Say to you, does this stuff prove the Bible? No, the Bible stands on its own. But you can ask any evidence you want. The Bible will give it to you. The Bible will give it to you. Seeing is not always believing. Believing, however, is seeing. And then finally, to behold Him should lead to worshiping Him. Should lead to worshiping Him. Can I be real transparent for a second? I'm going to be done. Every now and then I go, man, I really need to be a better preacher. I need to read more, study more, work more. Thank you for not amening. We need to do this. We need to work on the ground. Whatever I'm thinking. Let me help you. If I was completely golden tongued, and our music was 10 times better, and everybody was sitting in a bark lounger with that heated massage thing going on in the background, and we really did have a barista out in front making you all the frou-frou jazz that you want, we had the Holiday Inn waffle bar going. Whatever you would think would make the grounds look better. Look right here. Jesus still ought to be the most attractive thing. And we ought to worship not because of the accoutrement, not because I'm a better speaker, not because we have better music, not because the place is prettier, not because we got fancier digs out in the lobby. But it is more than enough when I figure out who He is. I can hardly wait to worship Him. I can hardly wait to praise Him. I can hardly wait to be generous toward Him. I can hardly wait to be with my other brothers and sisters because Jesus is with me. I have waited and I have seen and I have to worship. Get to worship Him. See, why would you preach this at the end of the year? Because that's how we ought to go into next year. He is enough to see Him, to encounter Him, to understand that the babe born in Bethlehem, Savior who died on the cross and rose in the third, that's enough to lead me to want to what? To worship Him. To praise Him. He's worthy of everything. Simeon said, he blessed him and said, behold. Behold. Verse 26. Look there. I'm done. We're gonna say it. We're gonna pray. It was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit he should not see death till he had what? Till he had seen the Lord's Christ. Verse 28. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said. He was prepared to worship the new king. Now I want to invite you. Maybe it has all wore off in 6 days, 5 days. God, help me be like Simeon. I found you. Theologically, you found me. Let me worship you. Let me praise you for who you are. Let me thank you for your goodness. Let me thank you for your salvation. Let me thank you that you're coming in. Let me just pause and praise you this morning. When you find Him, that's what should happen. If you're here today and you're not a Christ follower, today is a great day to come and confess your sin and ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. Well, what an opportunity. Would you pray with me right now? Thank you for listening. Thank you for praying. I don't do this often, but again, I think particularly this year, God's been at work in your life, if God's been answering prayer in your life, well, I'd invite you to take a moment and to thank him. Some of you, it's been a year of restoration. Some of you, it's been a year you realize that you were lost. And some of you are here and you're just here with bags and bags of stuff. Perhaps you want to come to him. Some of you are nervous about the future. And you want to come, you want to talk to him because he's already there. Simeon was so hopeful. He knew God would keep his promise. The baby held in his hands would be the Savior of all men. You're here today and you say, man, life is too messed up. There's too much baggage. There's too much sin. There's too much this and that. Let me help you. He died for you. He perfectly satisfied God's wrath and God's justice. And he offers to you a new life, a changed life. He offers to you his salvation. And you can leave here differently than you came because of what Jesus did. What should happen when we encounter the Christ child? It should change everything. It should change everything. Our heads are bowed this morning. Would you just for a moment, nobody's looking around. I just want to ask you a simple question. You say, Pastor Rodney, I'm here this morning, and I'd love for you to pray for me. I won't call on you. I won't come to you. I just pray for you as I pray right now. Would you pray for me? There's spiritual needs in my life. There's decisions ahead. Maybe you need to trust Christ. You say, whatever it is, I just very gently, would you pray for me this morning? Thank you.